Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
What is the Bible? Who wrote the Bible?
The church will continue to be even more irrelevant when it quotes letters from 2,000 years ago.
Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible tells me so, is where our trouble began.
This sounds to me like the voice of someone who really has an appalling ignorance of what the Bible says about itself and what Jesus said about it.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
And we're off.
It's the Wretched Radio mail call delivery bag Q&A infotainment nationwide extravaganza featuring your voicemails, correspondences, communiques, dispatches, memorandums, and missives.
Any special message for all the kids watching at home?
What we need right now is a clear message to the people of this country.
You have 1,200 messages.
That is a bit above average.
Now here's your host, Todd Freakishly Tall Friel.
DeVille is here!
Ooh, this is Wretched Radio. I cannot thank you enough for sending wretched stuff. Questions, comments, conundrums, snarks, stories, sermons, articles, anything wretched. Thank you for sending it to idea@wretched.org. And if you're a texting fiend, 877-282-2337, which reminds me of church on Sunday. Jimmy, would you like to? No, you'll never guess. Sermon title on Sunday from the Sermon on the Mount is titled, God Does Not Want You to Text Him. See? How relevant?
Yeah.
That is right there. See, I use something to talk about. I got a challenge for you. If you perhaps are looking for a way to read the Sermon on the Mount and not just skid over the surface, easy to do that when we do our daily Bible reading, isn't it? You just kind of, well, I've got to get another chapter in, so I just kind of read through it. And it's not without value. But when you maybe slow down to look for something, it just gets into your noggin and hopefully to your heart a little bit more. So I would like to challenge you, read Matthew 5 and 6. You can even get to halfway through chapter 7. So Matthew 5, 6, and half of 7, and look for a theme. And I'm going to tell you what it is. Heart. Look at all of the indicators that God is not interested in external religiosity. He desires our hearts. And you are going to find that at the jump. So just to give you like how to look for this, just consider the Beatitudes. What is God talking about? Blessed are those who are poor in spirit. He's talking about our hearts. He's talking about our attitude and our affections. And it tells us at the jump on this lengthy discourse from Jesus, God's really keenly interested in our hearts. Perhaps the most glaring example of this would be when Jesus said, you've heard it said of old, don't commit adultery. I say, look at a woman, you've committed adultery in your heart, because Jesus is interested not just in that we see a figure that is attractive to us, so we bounce our eyes. We don't go to that web. That's good. But why? If all you do is keep yourself from. So for instance, let's say you're a guy and going to the gym, you know, causes you to look at women with lust. So you don't go to the gym. Is God pleased with that? Well, you would have to say sure, but he's not pleased really if you're not doing it for the right motive. I don't want to do that because it's like committing adultery in my heart, and God wants my heart and he owns it and he should have it. And he's given me everything, so I don't desire to do that. If that is not the internal motivator behind the action, I wouldn't say that it's worthless, but it ain't worth much. In fact, Jesus talks about that then in Matthew chapter 6 when it comes to phony religiosity. You got your reward. You're not getting one from me. So go through the Beatitudes and identify all of those places that are indicators that God wants our heart, and consider the examples that he uses to get us there. With our mouths via oaths, the issue of divorce and just dismissing a woman because you're agitated with her that day, and identify heart, 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 heart. And you're going to see it all over the place, which is why this Sunday sermon, God doesn't want you to text him. Maybe you can join us at Alpharetta Bible Church. In the meantime, send stuff via text to 877-282-2337.
Well, speaking of text, this is a text that comes from Alex. Todd, I was thinking about the gambling episode recently, And I'm wondering what your thoughts are on arcades. Technically, they're built to waste money for little return, but they can also be fun. Is there liberty in going to an arcade?
I didn't know that you get money for winning a pinball game.
Yeah, you don't. I think he's talking more about wasting money and wasting time.
Well, gambling is a waste of money. But that there are other things that can be wastes of money. But what makes it a waste? What might, and I'm emphasis on might, what might make an arcade game a waste of money versus buying a sandwich at Zaxby's? What makes it a waste? And the answer is it depends. The sandwich you probably need because we need food. Now, it could be a waste if you're not that hungry. You really don't need it. In fact, it's the last thing you need. Yeah, that could be considered a waste. The arcade game falls underneath discretionary income. And that God lets us use some of our money to play. Every good and perfect gift, it comes from our Father above. He loves to let us do fun things. It is true. Look, I'm not going to build a church on that, and that's not going to become a major theme of how we present and talk about God. But do you think when you play a game, tennis, you play tennis, that God's up in heaven with his arms folded going, oh, I hope he hurries up. I hate it when they're down there hitting that green ball around. No, if we're doing it for the Lord, if we're doing it appreciating the Lord, he lets us do those things. And I suspect it's not just a begrudging, well, fine, I guess you got to let kids play a little bit. No. If we're doing it rightly motivated unto the Lord, you can play. But it could be a waste if it's too much playing, if it's wasting too much time. It's not just the quarter you put in the machine, but it could also be the time. Furthermore, what it could be doing to you maybe isn't growing you, Or providing the rest that you actually need, sort of like a video game. Boy, those things can wire you. They can get you whipped up, keep you from sleeping. Then they can become bad ideas for a variety of reasons, but not necessarily. So you say, how do I know? And the answer is, you figure that out. You figure it out. My discretionary time, different than yours. How I use it, different than yours. And what... how I spread it out, different than yours. I'm sure of it. We're all different. Everybody's got patterns in their life. And that means each of us needs to do an accounting. So don't get uptight about games, sports, and recreation. But don't think that it doesn't have dangers. Don't think that God isn't concerned how much you play. He's very concerned. Why? Watch this, Jimmy. Because he's interested in your heart. So determine with perhaps the help of other people, first and foremost, your family. Hey, am I spending too much time and money at the arcade? Am I negligent in my other responsibilities that are more important? Do I need an adjustment and let church people help you with that? And then you make those decisions for you. I make them for me. And we both give an account to the same Lord. 877-282-2337.
All right, this question comes from Jesse. Todd, is some skepticism concerning potential false converts a good thing? Or is wrestling with who is and who isn't born again being unloving toward the church?
Now, you got to be careful, though. This is, again, another heart issue. Jesus was on about the subject of true and false converts very regularly. It is a major theme in his ministry. So we are mindful that people, including ourselves, could be false converts. However, we got to make sure that we understand our limitations. You and I cannot provide a final rendering. It would require the church to do that in church discipline to set the person out as an unbeliever. But for you and me to walk around going, saved, not saved, no, saved, not, we got to be really slow about that. So how do we go about the business of identifying somebody who might be a false convert? I think it depends on your motivation. Why do you care? What concerns you really? If you're becoming a heresy hunter, you need to tear up your business cards. But if you're concerned for people that they could be a rotten fish, well, then you should talk to them lovingly out of care and love and concern. Should you be doing that with everybody? all the time. If you find yourself in that pattern where you're doing that regularly, you're probably out of line. You're probably doing it too much. Your balance is off, and you need to adjust the fulcrum on this. It is a good thing if we are motivated by love to help somebody realize, you know, that really is not in alignment with what a Christian looks like. I was just reading an article. I didn't finish it, but it was like in the Christian Post or something. John Piper was preaching about eternal security. And a woman approached him and said, I'm so blessed by your sermon because I've been committing adultery and feeling so bad about it that I might not be a Christian. So thank you for reminding me that I'm going to heaven. And supposedly John Piper said, you continue in that behavior, you're going to hell. Yeah, that's pretty straightforward. Why did he say it? Because he's mean? I don't think anybody would accuse John Piper of being mean. I'm concerned that that's 1 John 3, 8, 9 business. So let's be mindful of it. Yeah, we can do that for one another, but let's remember only God determines who really is and who isn't. And our motivation for making that sort of judgment should be one of love. This is Wretched Radio.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. You know, it is a beautiful day to talk about something close to our hearts. Here at Gospel Partners Media, you know we're on a mission. We talk about it so frequently, and it's a mission that doesn't include buying jets with your donations. Even if we wanted to, which we don't, but if we did, the folks at the ECFA would put us on some kind of list or something. I don't know. But that's not what our mission is. We're on a mission to reach as many people all across the world by the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is where you come in. So if you enjoy listening to us here at Wretched Radio and thought, hey, these guys are okay, well, we would ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us on this mission because your support could be the difference in someone hearing the gospel. And let's be honest, in the grand scheme of things, isn't that worth a little bit more than just keeping the lights on? Though we do like seeing where we're going. Wretched.org/donate. That's where you can get answers to any questions you may possibly have on becoming an ongoing monthly gospel partner. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. They get Bible memorization. Remember, we used to force our kids to do that, but now that we're oppressors, we don't want to be toxic and make our kids memorize Bible verses when it's about a gazillion times easier than when you get old. And they worship the Lord, they pray together, and they get loved on. Tomorrow Clubs, I'm telling you, record-breaking. The images are so encouraging, so cool, and I would encourage you to consider being a Tomorrow Club partner. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Well, in a world that is undeniably cluttered with quick fixes and superficial solutions, now comes a journey into the heart of real change. I'm talking about Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. You'll witness loneliness and overeating and relational tension met with grace, truth, and love that can only come from the one who knows us the best. This season's not just about watching others, it's about seeing yourself and your struggles and the path to true transformation through biblical counseling. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Important dates in Christian history. 732 AD. At the Battle of Tours, Charles Martel turns back the Muslim invasion of Europe. As Islam decimated the church in North Africa and the Middle East, Europe became the new center of Christianity. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
You need to send an email to idea@wretched.org. This is Wretched Radio. At whom am I barking? You! Have you led any sort of intergenerational ministry effort inside of the context of your local church? On Sunday night, I'm going to be having a conversation with a couple that I know in Texas. They have, for years, been inviting young marrieds into their home to try to disciple them. Magnificent. So helpful. It's an older couple that is downloading the wisdom that they have gained over the years to these young couples. And I'm going to spend time on the phone with them on Sunday night to go, "Why do you do that? How do you get them together? How do you get younger people to say, yes, I want to go to an older person's house to get better at marriage or being single or at being a good Gen Z worker? I want to know how they did that. And I want to know where they perhaps stepped on some landmines. I want to know from them, what are the current issues that younger generations are dealing with? I can read about it all day. Talking to somebody is a different thing. So I want to get that wisdom. And if you happen to have some of that because you've done something like this in your church, whether it's young singles, young marrieds, how did you do it? Because I think what we want to avoid at our new church plant is that there's nothing wrong with sometimes segregating based on age. We follow basically the 20th century education model, which has benefits. It also has some really big negatives. Same thing in church when we divide all of the time. I just think it's a great loss. I'm of the opinion that the youth minister should not be about 3 years older than the kids in the class. What does he know? Not much more, frankly. Get the old guy with the young. That's where both parties are going to be blessed. And so I'd like to know from you if you have learned anything about that, because we want to start doing that in our church. This is the one thing that I have heard in our church plant. Jimmy, this will actually be an encouragement to you.
Okay.
That people, you'll finish preaching and just chat about different things. Here's what I hear the most. Could you cut it shorter next week? The second thing that I hear the most is, how can I get plugged in? How do I get... Where could I serve here? Because that's what Christians want. They want to serve in the context of the local church. So if you've got some insights on how to make that connection and make that work, would you please send it to idea@wretched.org?
All right. Well, speaking of disciples, I get a question from Kyle, who's wondering, Todd, what standards does one have to meet to disciple another believer?
Great question.
Can you share some wisdom for someone who has never done it before?
Yep. Well, there's two big questions in there. You need to be more mature than the other person. Now, how much more mature? We don't have a Bible verse that says you need to be in the faith for X number of months longer. Because everybody's different. Everybody's maturity pacing is different. How much people consume the Bible, how much studying they've done, etc., etc. So there's no hard and fast rule. But if you don't know more than the person you're discipling, then you're not really going to help that person. So make sure that you're more mature. And by the way, that doesn't mean age necessarily. There are some mature young believers, really mature. They can be doing some discipling. I think it's probably better to make the dynamic younger. That kind of fits the biblical motif more. I wouldn't make a law, but make sure that you're more mature. Now, how do you do it? Well, the answer is up to you, but I will tell you with what you must do it. Because sometimes we think that discipling is, hey, Jimmy, I'm going to disciple you.
Okay.
Let's go play pool Friday night. That ain't discipling.
No.
It's fine. It's fun. Whatever. Unless, of course, you're the music man. But otherwise, we're just hanging out and doing whatever guys do. That ain't discipling. It really does need to be intentional, and you need your Bible. It's got to be around your Bible. Yeah, you can be driving someplace and downloading wisdom, but I would say that when you get to that place to do some of that discipling, it's got to be with a Bible on the table. And don't be like those people that I tend to see in coffee shops. You've seen those people? Mostly women. Sorry, ladies. But they're sitting there with their coffees. That's cool. And then they'll have like a Beth Moore book on the table. But that thing never gets cracked open. But now that I think about it, that's not such a bad thing. Keep doing that with your Beth Moore Bible study. But otherwise, we just sit there and chat. And that's not discipleship. Use your Bible. And I think that might be the test for you. If you don't know how to do that, if you don't know what scriptures to go to, then you're not ready. Then you probably need to be discipled. And that ain't a bad thing, y'all. We all need to be discipled. We all need it. John MacArthur needs discipling because despite popular opinion, he doesn't know everything. So he's 80. What is, I think John is 84, 85.
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
All right. So John needs to find a 90-year-old because he'll learn something from him. We all get to know. Let's be honest. The training wheels should fall off at some point. But my point is everybody can learn. And I need that. I'm going into a new decade, and it's going to be different. I know it, because every decade is different, dynamically, physically, spiritually, emotionally, culturally. Now, all right, I'm dumb to not find somebody who's a decade older than me to go, talk to me about the next 10 years here. I'm dumb. The Bible actually uses the word stupid. It does. You're stupid. You don't want to know what it's going to be like. You don't want to know how to handle the things before you get hit by them. Man, that's just stupid. 1-877-282-2337 if you want to text pretty much anything.
All right, this is from Dustin. Todd, some time ago you warned that that we should be careful in regard to the new Jewish roots movement. What should we be looking for, and are there elements of these movements we could embrace?
Yeshua HaMashiach is your first warning. When people use the name of Jesus in Hebrew, that is typically an indication that somebody is involved in some manifestation of the Hebrew Roots movement. And by the way, I believe that person said the new Hebrew Roots movement. It is not new. I remember that this is... Do you know that next year is going to be our 25th anniversary?
Wow.
Man, Silla. I remember this from 25 years ago. So this ain't a new thing. And it's not just people who are Jewish by blood, by descent. It's people who are just attracted to it. They just dig it. I remember a couple so vividly from years ago that they were in it and they heard me. I didn't know at the time. So this was like 20 some years ago. I said something about, you know, understanding our Jewish roots. And I just meant it in like, well, Christianity, Judaism, there's like this really direct connection. They're different covenants, got a different dispensation, got it. But I used the word casually. Little did I know that's like ding, 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 ding. Jewish roots, Hebrew roots. Is like code for you're into some sort of a system that tries to incorporate more of the Old Testament than the New Testament would affirm. In other words, laws or practices and the weight of those things. You must celebrate the festivals as opposed to if you want to, you can. And this couple, they heard me say that and they just assumed, you're into Hebrew roots. And they met with me to try to persuade me to go in that direction. And I encouraged them to go in the opposite direction. And the last time I heard, he's no longer a practicing Christian, but he's a rabbi in Israel whose mission is to try to persuade Christians to become Jewish. Now, that's anecdotal. But what I've learned about the Hebrew roots movement over the years, now I will say this caveat. Could there be a ministry out there that is not legalistic in some way, shape, or form that is a Hebrew roots movement? It is possible. I simply have not run into it. Now, I grant you, it has been a bit since I've done a deep dive into the Hebrew roots movement, but every single one that I've run into, and that's obviously a limited number, they're legalistic. You've got to. And that this new covenant, it ain't quite as new as you think that it is. And one of the signs is that people insist on using Jesus' name in Hebrew, otherwise it's blasphemy. Interestingly, they will talk about God as opposed to Jehovah. Some do, I suppose. I wonder if they could use Theos, Greek, because that's his name. The point is, but you can identify these movements when you start. Sometimes you will actually see these Hebrew roots movements. They will the yarmulke, or the they will have the curly. What is the name of that hair? You know, when you see the
I know
the Orthodox Jews in New York, the Hasidic Jews. You'll see some outward manifestations. Now, having said all of that, I believe that those movements should be avoided. I would offer this caution, though. If somebody talks about some of these things, whether it's festivals or laws and what have you, don't assume, your Hebrew roots to be avoided. You got to go exploring. You got to ask what they mean by that. You might discover, and by the way, Jewish people who are born again doesn't automatically mean they're in the Hebrew roots movement. All that to say, unless I'm presented with one that is not legalistic, avoid the Hebrew roots movement. This is Wretched Radio.
And it's now time for a Wretched News Break here on Wretched Radio. I'm Jimmy Hicks. Start with a serious note today from Nigeria, where we continue to stand in solidarity with all of our persecuted brothers and sisters all over the world. And recently, there have been women and children facing unimaginable persecution. One instance involves kidnapping of around 200 women who were collecting firewood as they were rounded up by a group of terrorists, likely Boko Haram, a known extremist group in that area. Also, there's a possibility of the Islamic State West Africa province, who themselves have been responsible for a number of terroristic activities that take place at government schools. Regardless of who is responsible for these recent events, make sure that you continue praying for all of our persecuted brothers and sisters abroad. Now we move on to the U.S. military and a bold move. Yeah, we'll call it a bold move. They're pondering whether the real secret weapon is not a new bomb or some chemical weapon of some type. Nope, the new secret weapon of the U.S. military that is being pondered about, inclusivity. Yep, with recruitment numbers possibly dwindling, it seems like they're banking on diversity to be the new stealth technology for the military. But hey, I think all of the diversity talk is the reason the numbers have been dwindling in the first place. And in the state of Missouri, how theatrical is this? Recently, at a legislative session to discuss a new bill that would ban minors from being able to attend or see drag shows, well, someone fully decked out in drag showed up to testify in the Missouri House. And Maxi Glamour is the name of the guy that showed up, and he's quoted as saying, "I understand this bill was put forward by an uncultured individual who has never been to a drag show." Maybe that's true, but I think the most important trait of the person that put forth the bill, Maxi, is that they want to protect children from seeing unnecessary things like you near naked. Maybe that's a shot in the dark, but that's what we're going with. Well, over at Google recently, International Women's Day took a little bit of a detour into Middle Eastern politics. How so, you ask? Well, recently, a group of Google employees hijacked the International Women's Day event to attack Israel and accuse Jewish people of victimizing themselves. I mean, naturally, when you think about a day to celebrate women, the first thing that comes to mind is geopolitical debates. Good job, Google. There's a lot of women standing and applauding you right now. And lastly, a bit of controversy surrounding the all-inclusive online bookstore that was founded by RuPaul. And they advertised in the beginning that they would carry titles from authors of all points of view, even those that they disagree with. Well, that didn't last too long because critics started to rail against the bookstore for selling homophobic and transphobic and anti-woke Nazi books. So the founders relented and removed all of their free speech messaging and the conservative titles from their inventory. I think we all pretty much saw that coming. And that's been today's Wretched News Break. More Wretched Radio is straight ahead. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Lexicon. The Incarnation is one of the greatest miracles recorded in the Bible. At the Incarnation, the eternal God became a human being. He did not abandon his deity, nor did he put on a human shell like a hand puts on a puppet. Jesus Christ is 100% human and 100% God, the only acceptable sacrifice for the forgiveness of sins. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Marijuana? Let me finish. Marijuana? This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, you Googled the, they're not dreadlocks, the curly hair that Hasidic Jews grow with a yarmulke or with one of their black hats.
Right.
And you said the name of it is marijuana?
No, payot.
Like I said.
Payot, P-A-Y-O-T.
Close enough.
Right.
Okay, so that's called payot when they grow their hair like that.
Right.
That's typically a marker that you're dealing with Hasidic Jewish people. There was a documentary on that. I found it fascinating, but then again, I tend to find religious documentaries interesting for one reason or another. These are people that are seriously under a yoke. They are so trying to keep the laws. And Jesus would tell them, you can't. You can't. You can keep trying all you want to, but you are not going to be able to be perfect, even as your heavenly Father is perfect. You're just not going to be able to do it. You need a Messiah. And he's already come, and his name is Jesus Christ. Would you please send whatever it is that you're thinking about to idea@wretched.org or 877-282-2337. Hey, Jimmy, before you jump in, can I do a shout out?
Sure.
For the Wretched TV show. Don't bother watching the show. Go watch the commercials. I'm not kidding. We just did an announcement for the Tomorrow Clubs. Did you see the one? It is a town in South... they're in South Africa. Mm. Tomorrow Clubs. They're just going nuts. They're just just going everywhere. And it's amazing the reception of their little kids clubs. They meet every week on whatever weekday they can. Kids literally come running out of the woods to find the Tomorrow Clubs. And this particular Tomorrow Club is in a city that is littered with gang violence, criminality, prostitution. And the guy who leads the Tomorrow Club there is a former gang leader who got saved. So he knows how to talk to parents, and they let their kids come and hear the gospel. And seeing it is like, that's amazing. All that to say, if you'd please consider supporting the amazing ministry of the Tomorrow Clubs. They're in Eastern Europe. They're in Africa. They're growing like crazy, and they really could use your support to reach more and more kids with the gospel. It's so efficient. It's $1 a kid per month. So let's just say $30 a month. You're taking care of 30 kids hearing the gospel every single week. In other words, Tomorrow Clubs is a good evangelistic deal. You can learn more at the Tomorrow Clubs, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
All right, this question is from Doug. Todd, if I desire to be a member of a local church, yet my wife doesn't share the same desire, do I wait to become a member hoping that she changes her mind later, or do I go ahead and join?
First of all, talk to your pastor. You need personalized counsel. Now, I do believe the bottom line is you both need to be going to the same church. And sir, because the Lord has assigned you to be the spiritual leader, you need to find the best church, and you want to lead your family there. Having said that, this is why conversations on a national level are so acrimonious. It is so easy to just go, well, you just tell her she's going to a rotten church. She needs to get in line. Okay, that's easy to say in here behind a microphone. But if I have to deal with somebody face-to-face, in particular her, that just changes the dynamic. And that is why in the context of the local church, it is so good to work these things out, because there are dynamics involved. My position would be, I'm not talking about you at the moment. A man and a woman who are born again Christians need to go to the same church. You're a family. You should worship together. You should do communion together. The benefits from listening to the same sermon together, going to Bible studies together, the same friends together. All of those blessings are shattered when you've got a couple going to different churches. Now, that's my line. How do you get there? I think that this needs to be done pastorally. The word that keeps popping into my mind lately for a lot of these subjects is discipleship. That we're all discipling our way, and we're all being discipled, and we need to help one another to get there. And that means that, I hate to use this term because it just has a fair amount of baggage, but the reality is life is kind of messy, sloppy, complicated. There's dynamics all over the place. And there's other issues going on. There's a... So in whatever couple's life, they come to you and they want you to help them with whatever issue that they're dealing with on an interpersonal level. But you know that he's looking at porn. Which issue are you going to deal with? How are you going to deal with it? You're going to probably put it into a hierarchy of needs here. Sorry for the Maslow reference. But you're going to do a little bit of discipleship triage. And maybe that thing waits. And maybe this thing is a little bit more urgent over here. This needs to happen with your local pastor because your marriage, clearly it is important. And a husband and wife should be on the same page. So having said all of that, I would say this, sir. You should be leading your wife there. Here's how I don't think you should be leading her. Saito, if I want to see the sewing machine, I'm going to... You don't just command and bark. That's just not the way a man is supposed to lead his household. Ephesians 5 makes it so... So does 1 Peter 3. But Ephesians 5 and 1 Peter 3, that the man is to lead like Jesus. We're to love like Jesus. How did Jesus love? He loved the church. Oh, how did he love the church? He died for the church. Oh, I'm called to that? Yes, you are. Nothing in there about barking and yelling. Do the preceding verses in Ephesians 5, where the husband is addressed. Tell the woman that you are to submit to your husband. Yes, but don't forget, I think it's verse 21, that we are to submit to one another, so we both have that posture. But because God has determined, here's the coin flip, sir, you're going to be the leader in the home. You, madam, the special word to you about submission. But then, great labor to explain to a man how you're supposed to be doing that. The way Jesus did it. He did not come to be served, but to serve. Whoa. Then I jump over to 1 Peter 3. Live with your wife in an understanding way. There's a number of things going on in 1 Peter 3 where he's talking about husbands. I think it's 3:7. Could be wrong. Just read the whole thing. It's really good. The imagery is that you understand your wife, you get her, what makes her tick, that they're, you got to study her. And if, by the way, you think, I know my wife, but you have never intentionally like watched and thought and observed and tracked and asked questions, you haven't studied your wife yet. You haven't. And you should. You're going to be shocked at what you learn. For instance, if your wife has a proclivity to a certain type of behavior, it's anger, it's worry, she can get overly snarky. Notice I didn't say snarky because snarky can be okay. Overly snarky, she's controlling, she's belittling the kids. Whatever it is, and by the way, we can do this in reverse too, but we're talking about you right now, sir, and understanding your wife. There's almost something certainly underneath the surface of that fruit manifestation. You got to go figure it out. Why is your wife getting mad at you about you talking about going to Zaxby's? You say, hey, dear, let's go to Zaxby's. I will not. Why do you always want to make me go? Whoa, 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 whoa. And most likely, if you're not thinking 1 Peter 3, you're going, well, she's in a crabby mood. She's just a drag, doesn't want me to go to Zaxby's. You're not living with your wife in an understanding way. Honey, what's up? What's going on? What? And lo and behold, what did you discover? She's actually worried about the budget. Oh, you're not understanding your wife. And you need to try to do that. And as you do, you will then lead your wife wisely. You're not going to say, honey, we're going to that church. So just stop watching those videos. Stop going. You're coming with me. Ephesians chapter 5. That's not the way to do it. You're to be putting your strong arm. That's the imagery in 1 Peter 3. You put your strong arm around her and be to protect, to block, to defend, and to help and assist and support. And you need a strategy to do that. And there's a ton of them. And everyone is going to be different, which is why you need to talk to a guy in your church who has been through this. You probably have somebody. How'd you do it? How did it work out? What missteps did you make? Do you tell me what you think that I should do right now? Do you think that we should be going separately right now? Should we start coming together? Should I ever go to her church? How do I start to persuade her that the place she's going to is wackadoodle and this is a really good church? Get help in that regard and have a long view. Because if your wife, this is a hypothetical, but if your wife is going to a wonky church, well, that's a problem. And you want to address that. How you do that must be done with Ephesians 5, 1 Peter 3 in mind, and with help from somebody in your church who has already walked that road. This is Wretched Radio. Might I, first of all, thank you for the hundreds of wretches who supported Masters Academy International last year. Seminary-trained students at the Master Seminary return to their native land where they teach indigenous pastors how to rightly divide the word of truth. Wonderful ministry. And you could be supporting a pastor, you could be supporting a seminary overseas, and you'll be strengthening the local church. Wretched.org/pastor.
Are you ready to go on an adventure that tackles life's biggest questions head on? Well, we invite you to join John Fabares and Jake Ream on a riveting journey in Road Trip to Truth Season 4. This season, they're hitting the road to explore deep questions about sin, atheism, racism, and the very nature of truth itself. So if you're ready to head out on a road trip, buckle up for the truth. Road Trip to Truth Season 4, available now at wretched.org/4.
Who will speak for those who are staggering to the slaughter? Seems like right now would be a good time to encourage you to support Preborn Ministries. They're in the game. They're working hard to save babies and save mommies and daddies with the gospel. So if you are energized about life, that's something you can do. You can support Preborn. Preborn.org/wretched.
Hey, thanks for listening to Wretched Radio today. We're on a mission to reach as many people all across the world with the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, and that is where you come in. If you enjoy listening to us here at Wretched Radio, well, we would ask if you would prayerfully consider joining us on this mission, because your support could be the difference in someone hearing the gospel. And let's be honest, in the grand scheme of things, isn't that worth a little bit more than just keeping the lights on? Wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
Record number of children are attending the Tomorrow Clubs in Africa. You should see the videos. Hundreds of kids run to meet at a Tomorrow Club in Africa. Why? Because Tomorrow Clubs, they're weekly kids meeting clubs where the kids, yep, they get some treats, but they get the gospel. They get the Bible. $1 per child per month. Encourage you to please consider supporting the great ministry, tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Transformed Season 3. It's finally here, and we're inviting you into the lives of individuals that are facing the giants of fear and guilt and grief. But hey, there's a twist. These aren't your typical battles. These battles have been fought with the sword of the Spirit and the shield of faith. We'll together dive deep into the heart of what it means to be transformed. Transformed Season 3 can be found right now at wretched.org/transformed3.
Attributes of God. God is merciful. While he does not permit evil to go unpunished, he withholds his justice for a time. Though God is storing up wrath for the day of judgment, every day we continue to live is evidence of God's mercy and another chance to repent and trust in Christ for salvation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Let's see what Jimmy thinks. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, the man comes to you and says, my wife doesn't want to come to this church. I believe this is the best and the safest place for us, the most Bible-centered church in the neighborhood. She wants to go to the place with the rock and roll show, with a Michael Todd getting a haircut on stage and Perry Noble lifting 400 pounds to prove that you can't carry the weight by yourself or something like that. And his wife and he cannot come to agreement.
Mm-hmm.
What tactic, if you will, would you suggest to that fellow?
Well, first of all, I think I'm going to try to diagnose the marriage a little bit. Because if if you have a desire, and I'm going by the guy's question, if he has a desire to be a member of a local church, yet his wife doesn't, this is a one flesh union. So why?
There could be a deeper marriage thing going
so,
on.
So well, that, and I think I would want to go to the place where your first ministry is to your wife and your children.
What are you doing at home?
Are you pouring into her? Why are you two not on the same page?
Right.
And I think that's where I would start.
Yeah. But you know what? And there could be reasons that they're not on the same page. Different backgrounds, didn't get it sorted. Somebody gets saved when they're all of those things. Mm. But if a man is along the way wanting to make sure that his wife is being fed, if that's not happening, that would probably be a good place to start.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll get to the church thing. We're going to deal with that. But this at home, so the church thing is merely a fruit of a deeper root.
Correct.
That is going on. Yeah, I think that's really wise. Start with them. Hey, before I just tell you about a strategy about where to go to church and how to go to church and how to get her there, now let's just talk about your marriage. There's another aspect of this that I think is too often overlooked, because we have a tendency in marriage to fight over these issues. And I'm not sure this is a perfect rule, but if you're fighting about whether to go to Zaxby's or which church you should go to, about what color flowers you should plant in the garden, it's almost certain there's something underneath it that is busted. And most likely, one of the first places that I would go to look, sir, is to see, are you living with her in an understanding way? Does she truly believe that you are like Jesus, that you have her back, that you cherish her, that you will do anything for her because she is your one flesh union, and you don't do things like that to your own body? You shouldn't be doing it to her. Does she know that? Because I think it was Lou Priolo. Man, I miss that guy. Lou Priolo, who said, when a man is acting like Jesus Christ, only a foolish woman would ever not want to follow, and a foolish woman would leave. I mean, he was talking like cuckoo crazy. You're acting like Jesus. A woman literally would have to be crazy to walk away from that guy. Because who wouldn't want to follow Jesus? Who wouldn't want to be with somebody like that? So you should ask the question, gentlemen. And by the way, we're not talking about this guy who sent in the conundrum about church attendance. Whatever it is, gentlemen, does your wife know that? And if she doesn't, I'm gonna make a promise, and I think I can deliver. If not, Jimmy will send your money back. Start doing things that tell her you cherish her, that you will jump in front of a train for her, that you think of her first before you think of yourself. You start doing those things, and I'm telling you, within a week, the dynamic of your home will change. Yeah, you got stuff to work out, certainly. But I'm telling you, she will soften so fast, because that's what she's been longing for. And a marriage can't work well if a man is doing that. It can't work well if a man isn't doing that. Why? Because that's the way God designed marriage to work. So if your marriage isn't working, then, sir, it is on you to figure out, where am I failing in this regard? And I get it, you could say, but you have no idea. This woman is, woo, kiss me, Kate. My wife makes her look like a ray of sunshine, taming of the shrew. She's a harpy. You don't understand. Doesn't matter. You're the leader. You're the one who's supposed to be acting like Jesus. But she act like Jesus. How does Jesus treat you? How has Jesus treated you? Did he not die for you? Why are you not willing to die in so many regards, whether it's preferences, schedules, some lifestyle issues that are not sinful? Are you leading like Jesus? If not, start and you Watch your house warm. Guaranteed. Idea at wretched.org.
All right, this question is from Thaddeus. Todd recently watched a video of yours where you talked about contemporary worship music. What did you mean by the term lofty?
Sure. All right. Well, but I think we understand with virtually everything that we tend to use, that there are varying forms. Let's use furniture. You can go to IKEA and you're going to get some furniture. It'll be cheaper and it'll last for some weeks. But then you go to the fancy schmancy place and you look and you go, oh, that's just nicer. It's better. No, well, I'm not talking about Scandinavian design versus whatever type you're thinking, but there's just some stuff that's better. There's just, and food, same thing. Okay, much as I love Zaxby's, it ain't a dish in Tuscany, I'll tell you that much. It is better. And so when it comes to music, there is just some music that is better. We should offer the loftiest, aka the best, the highest, the music that best reflects God's character and nature. Now, I want you to imagine a 12-string, a guitar. Even an electric guitar, there is a way to play an electric guitar that makes it sound as lofty as it can sound. I mean, it's got its limitations. There are just some instruments that sound like something. So for instance, when the king appears walking out of the palace, you don't hear somebody on their guitar going, you go, what doesn't match? What's going on here? They blow trumpets. Why? It sounds royal. It sounds more noble. It is a loftier sound. And so we should offer to God what best reflects his character, that it is an offering fit for a king. And we need to recognize that different churches can do that to varying degrees. And the goal here is not for you to sound like the London Philharmonic. If you can, you should. If you can't, then you should play the instruments that you have in the highest, loftiest way possible, because we worship for the king. This is a mindset that I wish there were an easy switch to flip, that when we go to church, I'm telling me to believe me, I have been guilty of this 1,000 times. I go to a church and I judge it based on whether I liked it or not. Based on like music, I have preferences. I prefer a certain type of music. And I can judge as if I'm a consumer. Does that church do things the way that I prefer? That is just the wrong question. Here's the switch that needs to be flipped. For whom are we doing worship? If you're going because it happens to be palatable to you when it comes to, I don't care what it is, the preaching, the lighting, the worship, the kids, whatever it is, that switch needs to be thrown. You're going to worship God. You are going to hear from him. You are going to offer up an aroma. It'll either stink or it'll be well-pleasing to him, and it's going to look different in the context of each church. I think I said this in the video that's being referred to here. If I discovered that biblically the bagpipes were the most pleasing sound to God, then I guess I'm going to sing along with the bagpipes. Can you sing along with bagpipes? And furthermore, let's just say I'm in my church and the only person who has an instrument, who can play an instrument, is the bagpipes. Then I would say, then you need to play that in the loftiest way that you can. Don't make it sound common. Don't let it become sexual. Singing can become so sexual. It's just unbelievable. And that emotive, I just feel your presence. Offer up the best that you can with the stuff that you have in the context of your local church, because we are not doing worship for us. And by the way, if I could sneak this in, just in case anybody isn't agitated enough, what are you wearing to church? You're going to do the best thing that you can humanly do. Worship God. Best thing you can do. You can't do anything better. And if you're going to a formal gathering of the body to do that corporately, this is You'd get dressed up for King Charles? Seems to me we should make some sort of an effort to dress up for King Jesus. And until tomorrow, go serve your king.